Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 107, Third Degree.
Just touched down in O'Hare International Airport, following up on the address I received from Zhao Leng. Apparently they were staying in West Pullman, Chicago. At least they were when Gertrude requested the statements forwarded onto them. I'm going to get a hotel and follow up the address tomorrow. I wouldn't normally bother recording here, but I thought I was being followed. I might just be jumpy. I'll keep my eyes peeled. The address didn't really pan out. The place deals in short-term rentals, and a dozen people must have gone through that apartment since Gertrude and Gerard stayed there. The owner did remember her, that old Brit and her son, but he said anything they left behind was either sold or thrown out. They did leave a forwarding address of sorts. Anything that came was to be sent on to the Usher Foundation in Washington, D.C., who I assume would send it on to the Magnus Institute. I asked him about circuses around at the time, and he said he didn't remember there being one, but a few nights while Gertrude was there, he had heard music like one of those little organs coming from West Pullman Park. I'm planning to make the journey down to Washington in the hopes that Gertrude might have visited the Usher Foundation. According to our earlier emails, they don't have any record of it on file, but I did notice, however, that one of the Greyhound routes there goes through Pittsburgh. Now, according to the details Melanie retrieved a few months back, Pittsburgh is where Gerard Key allegedly died. He was admitted to UPMC Presbyterian Emergency Department, having suffered a massive seizure, and died less than a day later. I think I might have to pay a visit and ask around. Also, I'm definitely being followed. There's a police officer. I saw him at the airport as well. He stood out a bit because he wasn't immigration or TSA or anything like that. He just looked like a Chicago beat cop. Well, I saw him again today, and I'm pretty sure he was watching me. The hospital was interesting. It's all very well being able to get people to answer your questions, but if they genuinely don't remember something, it's not always as useful as it seems. I only found one person, Lewis Brown, a nurse who recalls working the night Gerard Key was admitted. His mother was with him, and I almost feel like Gertrude took a perverse joy in the pretense. She explained his condition to the doctor, though could apparently offer no good reason he wasn't in full-time treatment, as his cancer was by this point very advanced. They did everything they could to save him, but he had a second seizure shortly after he was admitted, and there was nothing they could do. Unless he was somehow able to lie to me, this nurse, Lewis, honestly believes Gerard Key is dead. Maybe I came all this way for nothing. There's one thing I very much do need to follow up on, though. Apparently Gertrude was arrested shortly afterwards. Lewis only heard about this secondhand, but she was, apparently, caught breaking into the morgue where Gerard's body was being kept. I need some sleep. I haven't seen the cops since I left Chicago, so maybe I was wrong. I'm not feeling so good. I've been looking into Gertrude's arrest. I couldn't get through to Melanie, but Martin managed to find a few details online. Gertrude was arrested for trespassing, but released shortly afterwards without being charged. I managed to track down the arresting officer, one Jay Rebix, who said that she'd been found over the body of Jared Key, reading from a large, strangely shaped book. They'd been unable to determine if the mutilations on Jared's body had been done by her, and in the end she somehow managed to talk them out of pressing charges. Officer Rebix didn't remember what she'd said, but he did recall that she never returned for the book. It was sitting in evidence for almost a year before, as far as Rebix was aware, it simply vanished. I don't really know what to make of any of this. I'm confused, I'm dizzy. I think I saw the police officer from Chicago again in the station where I was talking to Rebix. I'm not feeling well. Elias says, I got a letter, well, an envelope. It's a statement. There's a note to tide you over. Statement of Howard Ewing regarding his interview with an unidentified member of British Transport Police. Original statement given February 1st, 2010. Audio recording by Jonathan Sims, head archivist of the Magnus Institute, London. Statement begins. The room is hot. It's small and there are no windows and the table is cheap metal. It shouldn't be so hot in January, but I think maybe they've just got the heating turned up too high. When I rest my arm on the table too long, I can see the patches of sweat on the smooth surface as I lift them up again. I've asked for water so many times, and he always says it's coming, but it hasn't come yet. He just sits there. He's wearing the uniform of the British Transport Police, 3 pips on his shoulder, but he won't show me his badge. He won't show me any ID. Why are they doing this? I didn't do anything. The officers that brought me here were friendly, kind. It was only after they left and it got so hot, and he started sitting across from me. He's smiling, asking me questions again and again. What were you doing earlier tonight? My job. I was doing my job. Cleaning Moorgate Station, me and Kelly and Vihan. We're the night cleaners, and that's what we were doing. We'd done the ticket office and the corridors and the entrances, and we were getting started on the platforms. Why is that so hard for him to understand? He laughs, and I wince as sweat drops into my eye. When did you first notice something was wrong?